Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Welcome to the worst year ever, the year where we reminisce about the movie Hook every episode. Well, every week we record an episode reminiscing about the podcast Hook, and then Sophie deletes it and makes us talk about current events. Because, as corporate says, nobody wants to listen to the same ideas about the movie Hook repeatedly every single week.
I do. That's why we have the conversation.
Yeah, that's
every
why we record here. It every yeah. single week.
Exactly. I just think that we're not giving our audience the benefit of the doubt here to come with us on this ride. I once saw the guy who played Rufio at Yogurtland into town, and you want to talk about brightly colored food?
Oh, yeah.
And him. I mean, that's it. That's all I have. Brightly colored
that's
food
perfect,
and him.
Though.
But I did want to start a food fight. I didn't.
But I mean, if you were going to pick a place to run into Rufio, frozen yogurt is
Cody,
would be
I feel
like
you
the
were there
to
with
see
me.
It.
I was.
You were with me. Okay. Yeah. Cody was there. Mm-hmm. He knows what's up. Anyway, this is an intro to a show
called
Hook. It's called Hook.
Hook
Worst
the
year
podcast.
Ever. Welcome to
and
Hook
every,
the podcast.
And every year since the movie Hook came out has been the worst year ever because it did not feature the movie Hook.
Right, right. if the movie Hook came out every year, we'd be fine.
There would be no need for this podcast. All of our nation's problems
solved
immediately. Well, we should probably introduce what we're actually talking about today, which is vaccines.
Debatable, but yeah.
Are we are we recording? Is this happening?
Oh, yeah.
We're doing it. This is it. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Okay.
It's a real sloppy start.
No, sorry. That's my fault. That's all me. That's all me.
It's called professionalism, and we excel at it. So
Yeah, right in the Bible of how to be a broadcaster is start every episode with an extended discussion about Hook without half of the podcast being aware that you've actually started the episode. That's just basic broadcasting. Walter Cronkite invented that.
Did we even introduce our guest?
We sure didn't. Kaveh, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Kaveh Hoda,
doctor.
Our friend, the doctor.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. Thank you guys for having me back on. It's nice to. I kind of aspire to be your show's like Dr. Oz, but with like even less credibility is what I'm going for.
Achievement unlocked.
Nice. Yeah,
can you guys tell my brother's a doctor? I was like, doctor.
So along those lines, then, do you have any advice on like just like what we should take? Like just like get just like name
right like we... like things like food. Eat food.
Sure.
And
like,
painkillers,
like,
right?
What's the
those
good
are good
stuff?
For
yeah.
And
yeah.
water.
Yeah.
Sure.
And less processed food. That's all I have to offer you. So if you do that, you're probably good.
Should I, when I take my morning Dilaudid, should I crumble up that first pill into powder and rail it? Because I feel like that's healthier.
It's almost not fair to joke because I don't know for sure if you're joking. It's not positive.
No,
fair assessment.
No. I have rules about painkillers, and the rule is only in Mexico or Guatemala, Belize.
That's
Serbia.
A whole other.
That's yeah,
a whole
that's
story.
A whole other story. Kaveh, we want to talk about vaccines.
Yeah. yeah.
Should we do it?
Too.
We're all vaccinated.
Yeah. Are we
that's
is
great.
This a fully vaccinated podcast?
Sure is.
Not the time period, but like the
we've all
stuff
gotten
they...
our second shots.
Yeah.
And I think
my time period's up tomorrow.
Nice.
Thank you.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, it feels real good.
2 weeks on this Saturday, since my second. So yeah.
My 2 weeks went up on Saturday and then I went to the hair salon.
So exciting.
Oh, yeah. So exciting. I'm cute again. It's so,
so
cool.
You've always been cute.
Thank you so much.
So what we wanted to start by talking about vaccine.
Hook.
Yes.
We did. We absolutely started by talking about it.
Let's just see how often we can derail each other from getting started.
It's going to be good.
It's like the old cracked team meetings. I'm getting real flashbacks.
Yeah. PTSD, maybe. I think the first thing we wanted to start off talking about today was this New York Times article about how experts believe it's unlikely that we will reach herd immunity in the United States, you know, and that the estimate being that in order to achieve herd immunity, we would need about 70 to 90% of the population fully vaccinated, and we aren't going to be reaching those numbers fast enough. And there's a lot to be said about this. And so I'll start with you, Dr. Oz.
Yeah, he's Turkish.
I hated that.
I'm Persian, just so you know.
It's a big difference. I hated
calling him Dr. Oz.
Yeah,
I hated it.
Sorry. That's on me. I brought that up. I am worried too. But I think it can still be done. In a lot of, and maybe, you know, I'm being a little naive. And a lot of very smart scientists and doctors are more concerned than me, but I do think it's possible. But two things need to happen. One, we need to start vaccinating kids. That's going to be a major part of it. And two, it's going to be a tough fight. There's a lot of people in the country that we're just never going to reach. I'm not worried about those people, but there are people that we can. And I think it's going to be a struggle to get to those people. And I think that's a sizable chunk of the population. I think if we can do those two things, I do think it's possible. Now, the numbers have always been, since this started, people have been saying anywhere from 60 to 85%. So, I mean, I'm not too surprised. This is not shocking what people are saying now. But it would be, I think it's possible to get to 70%. I don't think we're totally doomed, but it's going to be hard.
Yeah. And what does it look like if we don't reach those numbers? Like,
right.
What's our reality of this? Because there's a lot of scenarios that I've heard floated, but you know what's likely?
Well, what I think is the more concerning thing is we don't get the numbers under control, and then winter respiratory illness season comes along, and the country as a whole, I think, will still be better off than we were last year, but there's going to be regions that just get slammed. There's going to be hospitals that just get slammed, and there's going to be delay of care for people. And that's a real possibility, and that is concerning. You know, this year we barely saw flu. My ER colleagues barely saw flu, and that's probably because of the masks and everything else that we're doing. But when that starts to relax and when the CDC gives more guidelines about what vaccinated people can do and less people wear masks and we open up things, that's going to be a problem again. So if we don't have this under control, the combination of all these things, it's going to be bad. I don't think it's going to be universally bad, but certainly be bad in areas.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about the United States, but that's not even taking into consideration internationally and worldwide what is going to be happening. I mean, mutations are a thing that we've talked about a lot and continue to talk about. And in this scenario of not getting enough people vaccinated, I know you can't predict the future, but in terms of mutations, that is something to be aware of and concerned about, because it can start more aggressively targeting different demographics or different age groups. It can change.
Totally. I mean, we're lucky right now. The mutations all seem to be relatively still controlled by the vaccine. Mm-hmm. That's from the studies that have been done so far, largely like lab studies that show there's still antibody response. That's good, but that could change. I mean, that could easily change if there's a mutation that comes around that helps that spike protein totally be evaded. So it's something that we do have to really be concerned about, particularly because it does seem like it's relatively quick that we've come up with all these mutations. It's not uncommon, not unheard of, totally expected, and there will be more. But I mean, it's happening as we speak. We're getting mutations. Some of them are pretty significant. The South African one in particular is a little bit more concerning. So it's another really important reason to try and limit the amount of reservoir we're making for this virus to exist. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason I talk about kids, that at some point we have to get kids vaccinated.
So what's the hold off on that? Like, I know that they're about to authorize kids 12 to 16.
Pfizer 12 to 15, next week, I think.
Which, that great, that's, you know.
Yeah, wouldn't it be possible to immunize large numbers of children via some sort of paintball gun, specially modified? Like, how realistic is that, Kaveh?
I mean, we should make that like a national event. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, what's that country in Italy or whatever, or the city in Italy that has like a big tomato fight every year?
Yes.
Like, we could do that, but with vaccines. That's a great idea.
I was thinking
get out the shot or something. I don't know.
For adults to hunt children, but only with weapons that shoot vaccines.
Little darts of
yeah, antibodies. Yeah, I would rent a helicopter. It would be the best. It'd be such a good time. It just seems like a doable.
Robert's really looking forward to being a parent someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a tough sell. It's already kind of a tough sell to vaccinate kids.
Yeah.
So the helicopter hunting season. That, I think, is going to be tougher, but...
I mean, I think you might reach some people, but not all people, not everyone you want. Some people will definitely be lured in by that pitch.
That those are the people we really want in positions of power.
Exactly.
I think it's really feasible that's going to happen. You're exactly right. 12 to 15-year-olds, it's been... Pfizer's studies look pretty good, look pretty promising. I think it's very likely that that will make a serious dent in this, if we can do it, but... It's hard. You know, people don't want to put their kids through something they feel is experimental. It's not. It's been well studied.
Yeah.
But they that's a concern for people. I understand that. As a parent, I get that. The argument is hard to make sometimes because it's true. Kids, they tend to not get as sick with this.
Mm-hmm.
But they can. You know, kids still can, first of all. And second, we're not going to get to this immunity unless we get there. You know, and the thing I try to emphasize when I talk about this is that there was a whole separate study done just to study this. And the major focus of the study was safety. And it looks really safe. And so as vaccines go for kids, I mean, it was really not only safe, but also seems to be very effective too. So I'm hoping that once we start getting that message out, and that's a messaging that we're just starting to do now, I'm hoping that we'll start to get more kids vaccinated.
Have you had, sorry guys, I just keep having these questions jump in whenever.
No, go off.
Wrestle me to the ground to get your questions in. Have you had a lot of patients that you've spoken with about the vaccine who are hesitant to get it? And I'm curious, you know, I mean, you kind of touched on this, on the safety of it, but how you have or would talk to people about it. I'll say my nephew, he's 20. And he called me like, like, oh, so-and-so said I have to get it otherwise, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I'm like a free thinker and I don't want to, I don't know what this shit is like and what it's going to do for me down the line. And like, am I going to be kicked out of the family? And this is one of the first times he's talked to me in a long time. That's not true. He's a teen, you know, he's of that age where I'm his dorky aunt who is a know-it-all and he doesn't want to hear it. So I was like, what do I do right now? I don't want to blow it. And so I tried to be very cool. Like, well, I totally understand where you're coming from, man. God, adults suck. But do you know about mutations? So anyway.
Teenagers love when adults are like, all right, I'm going to try to say this cool.
I got really
anxious.
Sit
down
like,
backwards on a chair and rap with him. Yeah.
Don't blow this stall.
You know, the original doctor, Eminem.
My doctor, Dr. Dre, says.
Yes, to answer your question, I have spoke to a lot of patients where there's been an issue like this. But it's not just patients, actually. I talked to doctors and healthcare professionals who've had hesitations. No, I know that's... A study came out in early March, and at that point, it's better now, but at that point, doctors had access to frontline healthcare workers had access to the vaccine for months, and at that point, only about half had received at least one vaccination.
Wow.
There was a lot of holdouts, a lot of people concerned, and the same concerns they have are the same that seem to be in the general population. The biggest one that I hear, I mean, like, again, there's just going to be some people who are falling on political lines. You're not going to get to them really very easily. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try, but they're not the first group we should aim for. There's going to be those that just have conspiracy theories. That happens. People fill in the blanks with all these weird narratives when we don't have all the information. So that's something I don't know if we can do anything directly about just yet. But there are these people who are just worried that it came too fast. They're just worried that it came too fast. And I talked to them for a while because that's the one I like. And it's been a good like training for me in Zen to stop first when these people have these hesitancies and just listen for a while, which is like hard for doctors to do. Mm-hmm. Like they've done these studies where doctors like listen to patients before they interrupt them by saying something. And the doctors think it's like 4 minutes long. They do that, but it's like 25 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like a real...
I don't even have to be a doctor to relate to this. I think that's a problem in my own life. Let the person finish saying everything before trying to come in and fix it anyway.
Exactly.
Here I am interrupting to say that.
No.
No,
so it's... So I listen to them first and then I talk to them about that. Because the truth of it is, it's not like this came out of a vacuum. I mean, people talk about mRNA vaccines like it just came out of the oven like right now. No one's been working on it before then. But we're, over a decade of time has gone into the study of these. Things like the Zika virus, for example, or the first SARS or rabies. You know, people have looked at mRNA vaccines before. So this is not totally brand new. And then I also try to explain to them, you know, when you throw enough money and manpower at a thing, it will eventually get done. And that's what happened in this situation. A lot of money went into this. And not just that, a big part of studies that makes them take so long, that are hard, is getting people enrolled. And because so many people had COVID, it was easy to test it. And because there are so many people interested in these studies, it was easy to test it. And we enrolled people really quickly. So, I mean, it is impressive, and it did happen fast, and maybe calling it warp speed wasn't a great idea.
No, maybe.
But I mean, it's not like it came out completely out of the blue. It has, we've had this, the background for this, and people very wisely and smartly built on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
helpful. That helps. I feel like that helps some people, I think.
I'm not sure if that's going to penetrate my nephew's stubbornness, but I think I'll give it a shot. That is really actually very helpful, and it might just the knowledge that it feels like this is brand new because it is, right. But it's not. It didn't just come from a void. It's been worked on for a while,
right?
So I have a question that I already know that I asked you this question several months ago, but I'll ask it for the pod. I said, which vaccine should I get and why, and And the other question I asked was, does it matter more for my parents to get a Pfizer or a Moderna versus a Johnson & Johnson? I know the answer because you told me, but
yeah,
I feel like it's...
You know, it's still what you have available to you. The best vaccine is the one you get in your arm. But, you know, now with the pause on J&J, maybe if you have the option, if you're a woman under the age of 50, you know, get one of the other ones. But even if you don't, or if that's, you know, it's still okay. I mean, it works great. You know, the numbers seem good. The safety has been checked. I think the pause was a great idea, by the way, and it gave me more confidence in the whole process. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm very happy with all three of them at this point. And I swear I'm not just saying that. I know like people like assume that like there's like this big meeting of doctors and like we're all just like told to like say this, but the truth of it is they were pretty transparent with the data, and so we've been able to look over it, and I've been able to have people way smarter than me look over it and talk about it, and the safety stuff looks great. I mean, so I'm very happy with it. I think vaccines are dope. I'm just gonna say it.
And for they're sure.
you can
obviously, this happened so quickly. The world's attention was on the development of this vaccine. It's a worldwide pandemic, but there are lots of other pandemics that have happened that do not affect wealthy nations that perhaps have not had the same attention or resource devoted to it. I'm just thinking a lot, obviously, especially with India, at the disparity of treatment and options for people throughout the world.
There's a reasonable question to be asked, which is, you know, should we vaccinate kids first or vaccinate the world? And I think it really just depends on what our stockpile of vaccines is going to be like. I think we're coming to a point in the United States, we're pretty much here already, where we have enough vaccine for most places, and it's about getting people interested. So I'm hoping that it's not an either or situation. And I think we can do both. I think if nothing else, what this has shown us is that in the future, if there is something that looks concerning happening in one part of the world, it can affect everyone everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The pandemic is not over, for example, here until it's over everywhere. And what's happening in India is not just horrible for India, which it is. It's catastrophic. It's bad. But it's a concern for us, too. I mean, there's all kinds of variations of mutations breeding out there and these viruses. It's concerning for everyone. So I hope that changes our outlook long term.
We've talked about vaccine patents between our two different shows at different points in times. It's all a blur. And I'm curious on your thoughts on that, because everybody's been urging Biden to get on board with opening up the patents. And then I've also seen people argue, Bill Gates, for one, making the case that that doesn't solve anything because it's about production centers. But then there is the case to be made that, like, okay, we'll open this up so countries can develop their own vaccines or treatments, have the information and the resources available. And I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that and if that would be helpful, or if it's even just from the moral perspective, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would rather things go the sulk route, you know, where he, you know, famously, what did he say? You can't put a patent on the sun or something like that.
Yeah.
Same sort of concept here. It would be nice.
You might as well try to patent the sun, I think was his exact quote.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I would love to see that. I don't really see a great argument for not doing that, not opening it up. Other than just to make the companies a little more money.
Yeah.
But you know, these companies are smart, and Pfizer and Moderna, they've built up a lot of goodwill because of this. And I feel like they could easily capitalize off of that alone, and they should be okay. I mean, what do I know? I'm not an economist. I don't know any of that stuff. But I feel like they went into this, they did it right as we could expect a major pharmaceutical company to do these things. And if they can capitalize on that for the future, and I don't see them making that much more money than at this point, given all the different vaccines coming down the pipeline too.
Also considering Moderna got a lot of money from the public to do this.
Right, exactly. But I mean, I don't know
where I mean.
Also, Joe Biden literally promised that he would. He said the words absolutely positively to a direct question on whether or not he would do this. So.
This is not a defense of Joe Biden at all.
Good.
Everyone. All right, calm down in advance. Is it solely up to him to make that choice? You know, but we could at least expect him to be advocating and committing the United States to supporting that.
It's my understanding that he could do this.
All right, Ben. Fuck you, Joe Biden.
But
I also don't know anything, so maybe not.
I have another question that probably made sense when we were talking a few minutes earlier. What about the people that get their first dose and then they're like, you know what, that's good enough for me, and then don't get their second dose?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. And it's happening.
Yeah. Apparently more than we thought.
Right. And that is concerning, particularly because a lot of people, I think, heard that the second shot was worse than the first, or they're concerned about the side effects.
That is correct, though.
But, yeah, so you had bad ones, huh?
Yeah,
you had a bad one.
But two is going to be so much better. I mean, if I could take a third, I would take a third. You know,
you probably will have to do a booster.
Christmas time, right?
You're totally right. I mean, so that's the interesting thing to me is for those of us who got it back in like December and in January, you know, when we're going to have to re-up and when we're going to have to take a booster or a different one. Maybe it'll be a booster with some of these variants placed into it. I don't know. So there's a lot of different options for what can happen. I'm actually very curious to see what does happen.
Do you have any this is a surprise line of questioning, so you don't have to have this information, but what is, because I get confused, the protection after one, because I think that that's a lot of people, even after one, I was like, can I start to be a little looser? Can I? And it's like, no, I can't. But like, I really want to go out. But you're thinking, well, what degree of protection do I have here already? And I think that that's where people fall into a trap right. of like, oh, this is good enough.
Right. There is some protection. You know, maybe it's like 50 to 70% in some cases. There is some protection, but still not that 90+ percent
right.
protection you get from Moderna and Pfizer, which is just like amazingly rare in a vaccine.
Yeah,
I have to
sure.
say, it's so great. So like, it really is, I think, important to get that second shot. That's the way the studies have been done. That's all the data we have is based on that, not based on the first shot. And I actually do know a number of people who got actually COVID in between their first and second shot.
That's what I was getting curious about next was.
Yeah, I don't know the number, but that had certainly occurred. And by the way, I should also mention, you can still get COVID after your second dose. About 6,000 or so people have gotten COVID since their second vaccine, the 2 weeks afterwards. And I mean, granted, it's pretty mild or relatively mild for most patients, but 11% of those ended up hospitalized and about 1% still died. I don't know the details about those patients. Were they sicker to begin with? I don't know all that information, but you can still get COVID even after this happens.
Yeah. It's not some surefire
thing. Not 100%.
It's just vastly improved statistics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think about it the same way, and I'm sure that there's a huge number of people who aren't going to get the second vaccine or aren't going to get vaccinated at all. Who own like a bulletproof vest or something, right? And it is the same idea of like, well, yeah, it there's a lot of people who die despite getting shot with a bulletproof vest, but if you think you might get shot at, you should wear one. It's the same idea with a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's not a guarantee that you won't suffer or die from this disease, but if the disease is out there, you should get vaccinated because it vastly improves your odds, like much more so than a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, it's just seatbelts. Anything, anything related to safety, really.
Literally,
because
any
nothing
safety
is 100%. And in these situations,
well, it's the same thing you can talk about. There are some people. I'm sure there will be, as with every vaccine, a non-zero number of people who get sick and die because of a negative reaction to it. It happens. You know, it happens with a number of vaccines. There are people who get killed by their seatbelts. But that doesn't mean your odds of like, you can look statistically at like, yeah, here's a freak case where like somebody fell into a river and their seatbelt, they couldn't get it off. And so they drowned. But like, here's 100,000 cases of people who didn't die because they had a seatbelt on during a 30-mile-per-hour collision, you know?
Right.
It's
this is not an argument just about the welfare of the community. It's about your personal safety as well. So your risk-benefit analysis is still better for you personally to do it. You know, when you're younger, yeah, you do better, but still, you can get sick. There's all these long-term sequelae of these of COVID that we're just starting to like learn about that you want to avoid. And COVID, even if you don't, you know, have to go to the hospital for it, can suck. It can be so brutal. So like if you can take a simple shot or two that will get rid of that or protect you at least in some way, I highly recommend it. I mean, I don't think I think most people that are listening to your show, I'm assuming most of these people were preaching to the choir, but if not, please get your vaccine.
Yeah. And just the whole thing, I mean, I've seen a lot of people posting about like, we should stop sharing the negative side effects that we have after the second vaccine if it's scaring people away. And I get that, although I do think it's important and helpful for people to know what's coming when they get it or potentially coming. You might not. Mm-hmm. But the reality is a lot of people have a really strong and bad reaction to the second shot. Imagine if you'd gotten COVID. Like, imagine if you actually had it. There's at least I have to think that it's worse.
Yeah.
Symptoms. Oh, yeah. It's more protracted. And at least with the vaccine, like I didn't have it the worst of anybody. I had a very bad headache for a couple of days. That's partly my physiology and how I carry my tension and my reaction to being shot in the arm. But I knew what it was because people were talking about it. I knew that this was a day. It's going to be some discomfort.
Well, if you don't share those, if people don't know about it and then they get the shot and then they have these side effects, they'll go online and be like, oh, the vaccine made me die. Like they'll dig in. They'll dig into the other side of it without knowing the information.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a lot of those stories where someone is like, oh, they died and they'd taken the vaccine 6 weeks earlier. You know, this is clearly, right. I forget who that former New York Times journalist who's
Alex Berenson.
Yeah, Berenson, who's gone out of his mind. Yeah. Yeah, has been doing shit like that. Like, oh, if you get vaccinated and you die, that's clearly suspicious for the vaccine.
It's right, like, oh, it's like he's going through obituaries and being like, okay, who got the vaccine?
It's 2021. Yeah, there's no other cause of death than vaccine.
It gets back to this, the problem we were talking about, like you can extend this to seatbelts and stuff, how bad people are at risk analysis and at statistics. Because we've vaccinated tens of millions of people. Any population of tens of millions of people over, let's say, a 1 month period, some of them will die.
Right.
And some of them, it will be unclear why they died, because that's just how things are, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's
no, the safety, yeah. You're exactly right. The safety data is really good. And you're not hearing from all the people who had no significant reactions. People aren't usually
like me.
I mean, yeah, I didn't post, I don't think, like that, hey, I feel great after my second shot. The joy I felt, the freedom I felt, it sent enough endorphins into my body that like counteracted any negative thing I was feeling at that time. A year of stress and all that awful stuff I was feeling, like for, you know, myself, my colleagues, and my wife who works a lot more with COVID patients, that stuff kind of, it didn't vanish completely, but man, it felt so much better.
My arm felt kind of sore, but that was nothing compared to the joy of knowing that this year I get to go to Red Rocks and lick the porta potties, which I have been looking forward to for so long. Just really
he's always talking about it. Yeah,
we do an hour on Hook. We do an hour on licking the porta potties.
Why the show is so popular?
Yeah, we really hit the two things that every Gen Zer is talking about, Hook and just really getting your tongue into the crevices of a port-a-john.
Any port-a-john.
Any port-a-john, but particularly the ones at music festivals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Any congregation, large congregation of people. Do you think there's anything... So the communication, I think, from the media and also from like our science communicators and just like how we talked about this, obviously, the last president didn't help. And there's this sort of adjustment now in, like, almost like an over, like, you know, you see, like, the current president, Biden, out there wearing a mask still after being vaccinated, all these sort of things where he's sort of overcorrecting for what we went through last year. Do you think that's not helpful or helpful? Or are there just ways, like, people in, like, Fauci can communicate to people a little better about what we're doing?
I actually gotta say, I think they've been, Fauci has been fairly good, through this thing. I mean, he's had his issues, and he wasn't 100% right about everything, but I mean,
thing early on.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody has been. I mean, if you look through this has been, it's been tough to gauge exactly how this was going to play out for even the smartest epidemiologists. So I actually don't mind that people are still wearing masks. I am vaccinated. I still wear a mask. I'm out in public.
I love my mask.
I love my mask.
I love my mask so much.
I wear it for solidarity, nothing else.
That's exactly. Yeah.
Well, and for the joy of, I love, you know, I wear a gator style mask and mine has double layered. It's not like one of those sheer ones, but I just love walking into a gun store with a hat and a face mask on and buying a weapon from another man in a face mask. It's just, it's one of the things that's gotten better since COVID. Mm-hmm. The only thing, really.
Yeah, you highlight, you speak with the eyes.
Less men tell me I need to smile more. That's a plus. Mm-hmm.
But I do understand. I mean, I'm with you, but I do understand what Cody's getting at, which is partly because we talked about it yesterday, is the messaging of, do we want to be showing a message of, if you get vaccinated, you can return to more normalcy? But I will say that I personally feel... it's important and good to continue wearing my mask. I'm taking it down. I'm not keeping it up my entire walk outside. If someone's across the street, like 10 feet away, I don't really feel like I have to. But if they have it, I'm putting it up. And if somebody crosses by me closely, I'm definitely putting it up out of respect. And also, you know, I I understand where the CDC was coming from with saying that vaccinated people don't have to wear their mask outside. I get that. I think that a lot of us have those questions, but it's also sending a confusing message universally.
I hear exactly what you're saying. I think that we can show return to normalcy via other things like people. We have to show us meeting with our friends who are all vaccinated. Mm-hmm. We have to show that we're going out. I'm eating at restaurants a lot now. I eat outside. I still don't eat inside, but
yeah,
I eat
not ready
in the outside.
For that yet.
Yeah. And it's great. I get to meet other like people like from Med Twitter that I've never met before and other doctors coming to visit SF, and we go out for drinks and we'll post that or share that because I think that's important, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how we show return to normalcy, and we show mm-hmm. that getting vaccinated will get you that. Get you able to hang out with people again and in a real way. The
get
mask...
you licking those porta potties, yeah.
Biden got met with the Carters. No masks indoors.
Yeah, right.
It's all right.
Very little
people.
Hanging out with your buds, exactly.
Tiny little Carters. I agree. And but at the same time, you know what you said really. For me, something I actually really like, and actually I know this is kind of a silly thing, but I like walking down the street. Someone else is walking down the street. We both aren't wearing our masks, but we see the other person coming. We both put up our masks. I know it's a bit of a silly thing, but it shows respect. Mm-hmm. And yes. I think every time it happens, I'm a little bit like my heart gets a little warmer. I'm like, this person cares. You know, it's a nice.
There's a solidarity aspect to it. Yeah, and just exactly. like knowing like this is what we did. This is what we're doing.
Right. And nobody knows for sure I've been vaccinated. Nobody knows, you know.
Right. That too. And I'm not. Oh, yeah. I'm vaccinated. It's cool.
Bro.
No, I guess that's another tactic.
Well, because that's the sort of transitional, weird, confusing period we're in now, where it's like you want to have these sort of like social aspects of it and the solidarity and sort of like out of, okay, we're still doing this, but also being able to do these sort of things and communicate that it's okay without getting, you know, some unnecessary altercation or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have been trying to work on myself by not scowling at people when they're not wearing masks in places they should. That's like something I am working on personally.
It's hard.
I scowl. I know that now.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Yeah, it's hard in Texas because, like, there's so many places where people just absolutely have given up on the mask wearing. It's weird. It, like, heavily is neighborhood dependent. And but, yeah, like, I commit to wearing them indoors. Since I've gotten vaccinated, I've been looser even about wearing them outdoors. Like, I already wasn't when I would like go running and stuff. Cause I'm not like, I again, right. Part of why I have like the neck thing is that I can pull it up if I happen to get mm-hmm. close to somebody mm-hmm. as a, just out of politeness. But
right.
The data seems to suggest that unless you're in a crowded public area outdoors, it's not really all that helpful to be masked up when you're just like walking around on your own and wherever. And I do think that's one of those things that it is kind of valid to push back against this. Cause I think there are some folks who are overly sensitive about masking up outdoors to the point where it's like, well, you're alone in a park. You don't, and maybe it's okay to like be like, hey, we don't need to be like that aggressive about it, because that kind of feeds the people who are like, well, they're just trying to keep you in a mask all the time forever. And I don't know. I think
I get that for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm.
a valid conversation to be had about. Like what is protecting people and what is security theater, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you should shame anybody that you see in a mask outdoors, but I think
and don't call Child Protective Services if you see.
Yeah, them, no. But I think that, like, for example, when we're talking about what could be useful for the president to be doing or whatever, walking around outdoors without a mask, I think is something that can be normalized more now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's hard. I don't know what it's like in that situation and how everything he will do will be twisted, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
If he wears a mask, if he doesn't wear a mask, I can't even, you know. And who knows? I actually don't know. I get one shot of him walking on the grass, but I don't see him like the 30 seconds later when he's like around a bunch of soldiers who are, you know, escorting him onto a helicopter who don't have their vaccines or something. Right. So I, you know.
And it's a lot of it is like you're saying, like sort of navigating the inevitable like right-wing media talking point about this particular moment and like how that feeds into this, and so pushing back on that involves this other like it's unnecessarily frustratingly complicated.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I agree with everything everybody's saying, and I also think as we started this conversation today, a big swath of America has not been vaccinated and doesn't want to, and or has a lot of we're having a hard time convincing them. So my problem with mixed messaging on masks is not about whether or not I need to be doing it right now. It's whether or not our community is safe yet, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah, and yeah. So while I agree with everything you guys are saying and I see that point, there's also about as many people unvaccinated, more than that, unvaccinated than vaccinated.
Yeah.
And they're still at risk. And, you know, is this the time for the president to change his messaging, you know?
Right.
But I don't know the answer because I totally accept all the things you're saying.
In part because that conversation, I think, I know in the case of Trump, because of how his followers are, I think if he had made a point of publicly wearing masks and supporting them, it would have made a real difference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it really does with Biden.
With Biden. Right. Like, right. There's that too. Right. You're right. You're right.
Right. It's overcorrection from a guy who's like, he's there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's hard because the messaging is so muddled right now. And they've been trying really hard to keep one focused message. So I think that's probably what's happening. They're just trying to keep a focused message and hammering that message home. But, you know, at the same time, you're right. We have to sort of be a little bit careful. In the beginning of this whole thing, we shut down like beaches and big open areas because we didn't know. It was to the best of our knowledge, it was the right thing to do. We probably lost a little bit of public goodwill from doing that. But at the same time, I don't regret that it was done because we didn't know. We were trying to figure it out. In the long run, it wasn't that long that those things were shut down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's true. We do have to sort of balance it. I mean, I think there's going to be a population that is just going to be really hard to reach, and there's a population that is very reachable. And focusing on that population is the right move right now. Mm-hmm. And I think a clear, direct, repeated message to those people is going to help.
Yeah.
What do I know? I don't know.
You know a lot.
I know some things.
Do you guys have more questions?
More than us. How's it going? How you doing?
I'm all right. How you guys doing?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Hanging in there.
Are you guys going out to restaurants again?
I am. I have.
I went to one in Texas with my family who were all vaccinated, and it still felt weird. I was not super wild about weird. It. But it was also like, I don't know, what am I going to do? Everybody got vaccinated. So.
Yeah. Well, right. Like,
I have
that's
not
the
been
thing.
Indoor of it's, an establishment.
It's that situation where it's like, yeah, literally all, if we're all vaccinated.
Yeah.
That's the situation, but it is weird. It's been a year. That's a long time. To completely change how we interact with every other human being on the planet.
I told Katie this. I got my hair done. My first like stranger interaction is being at the hair salon, and I would say 70% of the people were like, I'm not getting the vaccine. Like my hairstylist was asking them. I'm like, but
what? In LA?
In LA, like near UCLA.
Oh wow.
And they were all and they were all over 50. They were all over 50 and they were like,
But those are the people.
I don't want to get it. I'm old enough. If something's going to get me, it's going to get me.
Wait, no, that's no. You're in the age where you're not. No.
Wrong takeaway.
But if they're so tough, then why can't they handle a vaccine? That's a thing. Like, if you're so tough, that you're just like, hey, man, whatever happens, happens, unless it's a bad side effect from a shot. I'm not going to let that happen. Anything else that's going to happen is going to happen.
And
it's so annoying.
There's a lot about side effects that I feel like people are hesitant to get the vaccine because of side effects, but it's like, it's temporary.
But what about the COVID side effects?
Those are bad.
Those are bad and weird, and we don't know everything about them.
Those aren't even side effects. They're just effects, and they're bad ones.
Right,
like
when
I had a very minor fever, I woke up and I was like, yeah, let's do this. I feel good, you right? working.
Yeah, exactly. God, it's good to have a little response.
It's so frustrating. I don't know. It, you know, I saw yesterday that one of my, someone I know in the Iraqi army got vaccinated.
Yeah.
And it was specifically a person who never wore body armor. And I guess I was like, good for you. Like, I'm glad your cost benefit analysis extended to getting like, well, I'm not going to wear armor when I'm getting shot at, but I am going to get this right? fucking vaccine. Yeah.
We've all got our limits. You know.
Yeah. Okay. People, I mean, we all make baffling, like if you really analyze your own behavior with a fine tooth comb, we all make baffling cost benefit analysis decisions.
Sure.
Right. I think like that's the case for everybody. Like I'm getting this vaccine. I carry a gun all the time. You know, there's a number of weird self protection things I do, but also like, I don't give a shit about cigarettes. Like, I don't give a shit about, and I should, like, that's objectively more of a threat to me than anything. I didn't wear a mask most of the time when the state was burning down around me. You know, I've gotten tear gassed a bunch of times without masks. Like, we all make some sort of baffling health decision, even if it's down to like, well, I'm going to take all this medication, but I'm not going to stop eating French fries that have been fried in enough oil that it's going to clog my heart. You can't. That's why I think like it can't be what matters isn't whether or not your own personal cost benefit analysis is kind of skewed. What matters is whether or not you're willing to take actions that are primarily about protecting other, or at least have a protective effect for other people. And getting vaccinated is one of those. We can argue about a bunch of different shit and like whether or not you should smoke, or like should we have consequences as a society for people who choose to smoke. But at the end of the day, if you're smoking on your own, there's only so many people that can possibly affect, whereas getting vaccinated vastly reduces your chance of harming another person in society.
I'm convinced. I'll get it again.
Anyway, nice. Get vaccinated and buy some cigarettes, menthols, the healthy cigarette.
While you can.
Just blow that smoke into your mask and keep it there.
Oh, yeah. Get a gas mask and smoke inside it. Like, really let it soak into the pores. That's how you'd keep yourself healthy.
You know,
that T-zone.
Every doctor, once they started getting the vaccine, they posted these things on Twitter, like a picture of them getting the vaccine, and they'd be like, this is for my community. This is so I can hug my parents. This is for my patients. And all those things are true and they're all accurate. But what I wanted to post was, I'm doing this for me because I want this so bad. I want to be able to go out. I want to feel comfortable. I want some sense of, you know, normalcy to return. And for me, it was the best way to do it. But all those other things you're mentioning are totally true. Affecting the community is huge.
So. Yeah. I think that's true. Also, I think there's an element that people want to see that. They want to see, like, no, doctors are like, yeah, give me the fucking vaccine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pump me full of it. Absolutely, I'll take it right now.
Right in my eye if I need, if that's where it needed to go, I would take it.
Yeah, pump me the fuck up.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Dr. Kovs.
I don't know.
I've had worse. It's all right.
Listen to his podcast, The House of Pod.
Tell everybody where they can find your podcast and find you online.
So you can find us on Twitter at The House of Pod. And I think we're also on Instagram. And our podcast, you can listen pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. We talk about stuff like COVID and health issues, but then we'll also talk about stuff like systemic racism in medicine or sexual harassment in medicine and all this fun stuff. And we'll have guests ranging from like the world's greatest, you know, medical experts to every single person that's on this panel right here.
Also the world's greatest medical experts.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
So come take a listen. You'll like it.
Yeah, you will. And thank you again for joining us.
Smoke menthols.
Yeah, and smoke menthols.
Again, while you can.
Maybe. Thank you, guys.
Cigarettes.
Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.